This morning we'll continue our series on Keep the Faith, and I'll be reading from 2 Timothy 3, 1 to 9. But understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying its power. Avoid such people, for among them are those who creep into households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth. Men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith, but they will not get very far, for their folly will be plain to all, as was that of those two men. Amen. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. I pray that you use me this morning as your vessel to speak to us, to encourage someone, to open our eyes. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. So, my title this morning is In the Last Days. In this passage, we see Paul writing to Timothy, continuing telling Timothy that what must take place in the last days before the return of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. This message was relevant in Timothy's time and also is relevant in our time, because we are living in the last days. How do I know that we are living in the last days? The Bible says this in Acts 2. When the Holy Spirit came, and this is Peter speaking and addressing the crowd, and verse 17 he says, "And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." In the last days, I'll pour out my spirit on all people. Peter spoke to the crowd what was happening at Pentecost, the fulfillment of the prophet Joel prophecy in the Old Testament. So that indicates already that they were living in the last days. In Hebrews 1, verse 1 and 2, "In the past God spoke to our ancestors through the prophet in many and various ways, but in the last days he has spoken to us by his Son." Last days, time period beginning with the coming of Christ up until he comes back again. So that's the end of the age, which is the second coming of Christ. So for this reason, it was important for Paul to explain to Timothy the characteristic of people in the last days. What will take place, both in the society and also in the church. Paul knew he was at the end of his ministry. He was making sure that Timothy was prepared and was aware of the time he was living in. This also applies to us. It was for Timothy back then, but also for us these days, because we are living in those days. If Timothy, Paul said to Timothy, was living in the last day, imagine us. So it means we are even closer to the return of Jesus Christ. Although it might seem like the return of the Lord is taking long, but the Bible also says that 1,000 years in the Lord's sight is like one day. So Jesus can come back anytime. All we can do is continue to work for the kingdom until the day arrives. It is important that while we are waiting, we are aware of the world around us, because there will be false teachers and false prophets and people pretending to be good, but actually their mission is to destroy. People who reject the gospel of Jesus Christ and are in churches for their own gain. So this is what Paul wanted to show Timothy. Which brings us to our first point. Misplaced love. As we read, in the last days, people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, and lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Lovers here mentions in this passage 4 times. We should love God above all else. God comes first. Money and all this stuff, they're okay, but God comes first. When we put them first before God, that's a problem. When we remove God out of the picture, then we see the list of 15 other expressions, which we saw at the beginning, describes the moral decay that comes from this misplaced love. We see all these characteristics in society today, and the result of a self-centered society, as we read verse 2 and 4. People just loving themselves and forget about God. We can also find this list in the book of Romans. Romans 1, verse 28 to 32. Paul is also warning Christians in Rome about the same thing. And since, he says this, and since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manners of unrighteousness, evil covetousness, yes, and malice. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanders, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents. Very important, they keep repeating that part for us children. Foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they do not only do them, but give approval of those who practice them. not putting God first can result in all this list above. Paul is warning Timothy so that he understand what is going to take place in the last days. And if I'm honest, we can see these things happening. This was a prophetic message for us through Paul, saying this is the things will come to pass, and they are coming to pass. We are seeing it each and every day in our generation. But also for the church in our generation, so that we, when we see this thing happening, we are not surprised. So we are prepared. And to know that the Lord is coming back very soon. If Timothy and the church were living in the last days, it means we are also living in the last days, like I said that before. Verse 8, it says this. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth. Men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith, but they will not get very far from their folly. For their folly will be plain to all, as was of those two men. Just to clarify, Jannes and Jambres, I think there are two magicians which was opposing Moses in Egypt, but they are not mentioned by name anywhere. They just said two men which were magicians. But if you look at the Hebrew text and all these other things, you see them in there, and they refer them into that. So these people are there just to oppose the church of God. We'll have people like that into our churches. They are corrupted in mind and have no faith. As the Bible says, they will not get very far, because we have a living God, a God of justice, who protects his children. And Paul here is telling Timothy that above all else, we must love God. We must be aware of what's taking place, putting God first. Otherwise, we might fall into the same thing. As I say, but understand that in the last days, there will come times of difficulties. And this is the time where we see people just lovers of themselves, doing whatever pleases them, and disregard God in all things. So, that's our first point. On to the next point. The importance of safeguarding in the church. As we know already what's happening, the characteristic of these people in our churches. So it's also important that safeguard is part of our churches. Paul is warning Timothy about these people in churches having the appearance of godliness, but actually very far from the truth. These are religious people, having a form of holiness, but actually wolves in sheep clothing. And these people are dangerous to the church, to the church community, having the appearance of godliness, but denying the power, avoiding such people. Paul is warning Timothy to avoid such people. They come in church, they present themselves as Christians, but actually, they have their own agendas. Those who have the appearance of godliness but denying the truth about the gospel. Paul is making clear that believers are not to dissociate themselves from immoral people in the world, but those who claim religion but behave in a such ungodly way. So it's very important to make the difference that we have to reach out the world, but we have to look in the church also. People who claim to be what they are not. And he says this in the book, in 1 Corinthians 5, 9 to 11. I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with sexual immoral people, not at all meaning the sexually immoral of this world, or the greedy and swindlers or idolaters, since then you would never. Sorry, I'm just a little bit lost. Since then you would need to go out of the world, but now I am writing to you not to associate with anyone who bears the name of a brother if he is guilty of sexual immorality or greed or is an idolater, reviler, drunkard, or a swindler. Not even to eat with such people. So Paul is making clear here that it's only people who call themselves brothers, Christians, and doing all these things. 2 Peter 3, verse 3. Knowing this first of all, that the scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. For them, they have no heart for the church or for the community, but their own sinful desires. Just because someone says they believe in God, this does not mean they are Christians. Also, there are those who claim to be Christians but actually have not fully come to the truth of the gospel. Because the only true transformation comes from the gospel, being born again, becoming a new creation, a new birth, and Jesus Christ provide the power to live a transformed life. If you have not received him yet, today is your day. Invite him in your life. He will transform your life. I am a living testimony, and I'm sure many of you also. Jesus transforms life. His gospel transforms. He changes. So safeguarding is really important in the spiritual point of view and also in the day-to-day life of the church, because there's a lot of people coming in the church. This is why here at Unity Church, we take safeguarding very seriously. As a church, we have the responsibility to safeguard the church members. If you see something wrong, please speak to Lydia. She's our first guard officer. Or Liz. They will know what to do. Because church should be a place of a safe space for members to grow into their faith. They creep into churches, family, to destroy those who are weak and having to feel guilty about the past. As we see in verse 6, for among them are those who creep into household and capture weak women, burdened with sin and led astray by various passions, always learning and never be able to arrive at a knowledge of the truth. Let me just explain that a little bit by capturing weak women, and also I'll explain burden with sin. Literally, little women, a disparaging terms translated in various ways: weak, willed, gullible, vulnerable. This is not a description of women in general, but a particular group of women, what made them vulnerable, or that they were. So it's not talking about all women in general, just a particular description and the translation and this. So they are gullible and vulnerable. And also he says they are burdened with sins. And the Greek perfect tense indicates an action completed in the past, but with consequences in the present. For example, I lost my keys. They're still lost in the present time. It was the guilt they felt for the past sins that made them vulnerable to manipulation. Guilt can do that. Guilt can make you feel that you're not worthy. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the antidote to guilt. Without it, there's nothing else. Romans 8 says this. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation. When you're in Christ Jesus, he's taken all that away. All the guilt, all the sins, it's gone. No more. But when you hold on at guilt, you make yourself vulnerable for the enemy to attack you, to accuse you. Don't let him do that to you. You're a new creation. You're a new person. You're not the same person before you were born again. Once you're born again, you're a new creation, completely. Everything gone. Jesus has dealt with that. And guilt hinders a lot of Christians from growing spiritually. The Lord Jesus has paid the price for that. So be free. Today, I would like to remind you that you are free, and the gospel of Jesus Christ can set us free from all guilt, from all sins. Let's remind ourselves every time we feel guilty about something from the past that God has already paid for that. I am free. I'm not the old man anymore, or woman. I'm a new creation. I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. And Jesus has done that for you and for me. So we have to be thankful for that. But the most important thing in all this passage is to remember that we are living in the last days. We must put God first in all things. Whenever we go about our business, remember God. Speak to God. And there are people out there, they need to hear the same message. They need to hear that Jesus Christ is coming. And if you are not born again or repented, your destiny is not great. So we have that responsibility to keep going. Speak to people, evangelize, telling people about the gospel of Jesus Christ every single time we get the opportunity to do so. because he is coming. He is coming soon, very, very soon. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Thank you. That's all I have for you today. We shall pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you because you are the one in control of your church, and the gates of hell will not prevail. Father, we thank you because without you, we are nothing. We are lost. Father, help us to put you first in everything we do, in all our activities. May you be first. We pray this in Jesus' mighty name. And also pray for those who are feeling guilty, and guilt has been hindering them to do the work you have called them to do, to be the son and daughters you have called them. Father, I pray by the power of the name of Jesus Christ, all those chains will be broken today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.